Hebrews chapter number 11, if you have your Bibles tonight and will, Hebrews chapter number 11. Try to read a few verses here and try to deliver what's on our heart for the service tonight. I don't feel as though I have a great deal upon me, and really I knew about where we were supposed to be in the Scripture and was reading some things in this chapter, but it was not long before we left that the Lord began to open my eyes to be able to see what He wanted for the service tonight. And so I'll just try to follow Him and trust that He will help us both physically and spiritually tonight to give to you what I feel He's given to us. Hebrews chapter 11, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to read, I think, the entire chapter tonight. And I know we're all standing. I'll try to read it as quickly as I can. But a chapter like this, it's hard to just pick out a place and start. And so I feel like we ought to read it all tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning in verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I thought about the song we sing in this hymn book here, Living by Faith. And the writer said this, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow if Jesus walks close to my side? Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. The chorus says, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. This chapter that I read into your hearing tonight, and I don't know how much preaching I'll do per se, but it is a chapter, a record, an account of those who lived and died by faith. And the song we sing, Living by Faith, can and should be more than just a song that we sing. It ought to be and can be for every child of God the reality of our everyday life. And so as I begin to read and begin to think about these men and women that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11, the thought just of that song came to my heart tonight to preach or deal with or talk to you about for just a few minutes on living by faith, or walking by faith. We could say either one, a life live is a walk with God that should be and can be walked by faith. This chapter here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, introduces us to what faith really is. We don't have to take what some man has to say about it. We don't have to read some commentary, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with all of that. But the Bible, we can take it at face value, for it gives us the definition of what faith really is. Many people in this life, they talk about faith. And I understand if we're saved, we are saved by grace through faith. We have faith from God, or we wouldn't be saved. But there is more to faith than just saving faith. I'm glad to know there's living faith. There's faith to be exercised and put into practice in our everyday life. These men and women that we read about, their faith was put to the test. One writer said that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that God will never trust. And that's right. For you to grow, the Bible said we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We're to have our faith exercised unto good works. We're to go on to perfection. That is spiritual maturity. That is not to dwell in childhood or adolescence, but to reach maturity in our spirituality. And if we're to do that, then our faith must be exercised. We must learn to live and walk by faith. You say, well, what is faith? Well, what does the writer say? The writer here says, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means the foundation. It's the assurance. It's the confidence. The hope that we have. That last verse said that our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. We have not yet seen that. We have not yet experienced that. But we hope for that. Titus said we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And the way we look for that hope is by faith. The way we expect that hope is by faith. The reason, really, what the writer's saying is the whole reason we have hope is by faith. It is the substance. It is the evidence that though we have not seen it, the Bible speaks about hope, that which we have seen is not hope. For if we have seen it, why then would we yet hope for it? But the Bible said we hope for that we see not. And if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that is by the our faith. We wait with faith by patience for the hope that is promised unto us. And faith inside of us, we have to understand that faith is not of man. The Bible said we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. That the salvation's not of ourselves, but also the faith is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And so this faith that we have, this faith that we hold, it's not of us, but it's of another world that leads us to hope and trust and be fully persuaded and assured that we have hope beyond this life. Paul said if we had hope in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. But the reason that Paul was not miserable and the reason that we cannot be miserable is because we have hope beyond this life, and we're persuaded and assured of it by faith. Sounds to me like faith's an important thing. I would say that after salvation, I understand that we're saved by faith and by grace and by the Lord. But I want to say that for the Christian walk, faith is the most important thing. For it is by faith that we walk. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so we cannot live a life that's pleasing to God. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. But I don't have any trouble when I bow my head to a being and I've never seen, believing that He is. And I do that by faith, and that He's able still in our day to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And we believe that, are confident in that, are assured of that by faith. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. But it's not just that. It is the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence means proof. It means conviction of what we know yet we cannot see. There's a lot of people that have fault with our way of life because they dwell and they rest in only what they can see. But our whole being, our whole existence, our whole hope is based upon something that we cannot see. But yet by faith we have the substance and the evidence of what we cannot see. The Bible, we tried this morning by the help of the Lord to preach a little bit about Moses. But this chapter here, I think, in verse 21 or 27, here in the chapter, if we look over here, talked about Moses in verse 27 and used him for a good, and others for a good example of what this verse is saying. Verse number 1, that it being the evidence, the proof, the conviction of the things that we've not seen yet we believe them. And the Bible said in verse 27 that by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured. What did he endure? He endured all the trouble, all the wrath, all the mockery, all the things that came his way. His brethren scolded him. They murmured in the wilderness. They wouldn't want to follow him. They talked down about him. Pharaoh mocked him and mocked his God. But the Bible said Moses endured, for he seen him who is invisible. You say, that don't make any sense. That's the way faith works. Faith does not make sense to the human mind. If it made sense, it would not be faith. But one writer said, faith will trade the certainty of today for the uncertainty of tomorrow. And that even though it's uncertain to the flesh, it's certain in the mind of God. There's a whole lot in that. That's a mouthful. And I don't know if all of it clicked or not. I don't know if it's all clicked in me yet or not. But to know that faith, this operating system that we have inside of us as the people of God, will trade the certainty that the flesh has today for the uncertainty that God has tomorrow, knowing that though it's uncertain to us, it's certain to God. That's what Moses did. He chose rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. He traded the certainty of Pharaoh's palace for the uncertainty of the wilderness and fell right in God's lap. And that's how faith works. That's what I'm talking about. That Moses forsook Egypt. And he was certain of what he had there, uncertain of what God had planned. But he had faith to know that God had it all in control. And because he had faith, God blessed his faith and rewarded him. And that's the way it works. The Bible speaks here in this chapter about many people. It talks about Noah. That he was warned of God in verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God said judgment's coming. God said the flood's coming. Noah had never seen the flood, much less had he ever seen the rain. It had never rained before. But Noah believed God. And by faith, he prepared an ark and he was saved. He traded the certainty of today for the uncertainty of tomorrow. And when tomorrow came, it was certain in the mind of God. I don't know if any of this is making sense to you, but it's feeling good in my heart. And my voice is feeling pretty good. I think I'll just preach as long as God will let me. But what I'm trying to say is this. Noah, even though he had faith, just because we have faith, that does not mean that it registers and it computes in our mind. It may never make sense, but that's okay with faith. We just know that God has it figured out. Whether we do or not, we just believe God, and it'll all work out in the end. That's what Noah believed. He didn't have it all figured out. Can you imagine? And I know I've said it already, but I don't mean to repeat myself over and over again, but I just think in our day, in 2020, we're raising a generation of Christians in the church that the Bible said, and I know what I'm doing tonight is preaching more than teaching, but I'm preaching the Word of God line upon line, and that's what we failed to have in our day. The Bible said the Word of God is profitable for instruction and righteousness, and sometimes we need to stop and slow down and be instructed again of what it really means to live and walk and what God expects out of us by faith. I believe that's right. It ain't always a feel good, and it ain't always swinging from the chandeliers. But I'm going to tell you something. We was at homecoming at Brother Locke's house up there, and somebody made the comment, and I liked what they said. They said all the services have not been shouting and saving and all of that, and thank God for those that have. But they said every service has just been good, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad God can take instruction and make it seem good to us. We may not be swinging from the chandeliers, but the Holy Ghost is helping us if we'll let Him help us, and I'm glad instruction is good. We need to understand what it means to live by faith so that we can do it and know that we can do it even in 2020 when America's going down the drain and everything around us is crumbling. We need to know and be reminded that God's still in control. He's still on the throne. And nothing's caught Him by surprise. He still has it all figured out. And if we'll just walk by faith, though it may not make sense, it'll all work out with God. Noah, by faith, Noah being warned of things not seen as yet. God said, Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and I'm going to destroy the world with the wrath and judgment of water, flood the whole world. And Noah had never seen it rain. According to the word of God, a mist came up from out of the ground and watered the earth. And so it's uncertain to Noah. He had never seen this rain that God talked about. He had never seen a flood that God's talking about. But Noah had faith, and God imparted faith to Noah. Aren't you glad that when God speaks to you, that He's able to impart faith to you, that whether it makes sense to your mind or not, you can believe what God says is right, even though it's uncertain. Even though you may have to trade the certainty of today for uncertainty tomorrow, we can still be certain by faith that God will take care of us. That's what faith is. Faith is exchanging something. I don't know, I just feel like I'm hammering this point, but the Lord knows what we need. Faith is like exchanging something that you know what it's worth for something in a blank envelope. You have no idea what it is, but you just trust that God will never cheat you, rob you, lie to you, or steal from you. And God's always got better than what you have. And so you exchange what you know to get from God what you may not know, and come to find out what you don't know is better than what you did know. That's faith. That's what Moses did. He traded what he knew for something he didn't know much about. Oh, he had come to grips with the fact that he was not Pharaoh's son, that he was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that he was not an Egyptian, that he was a Hebrew. But he had no idea what it was like to live like a Hebrew. But he was willing by faith to exchange a life that he knew for a life that he didn't, and come to find out that the life he didn't know was better than the life he did know. And by the way, while I'm there, and I ain't never preached on this in my life, but I'm glad that the Lord's letting me tonight. By the way, while I'm there, that's how salvation works. You know what it's like to be a sinner. You know what it's like to live to the flesh. You know what it's like to fulfill the desires of your own heart. But when you get saved, that's why faith has to come in, because you have no idea what you're exchanging. But come to find out, after you get born again, the life you knew nothing about is far better than the life you did know about. That's right. Yeah. And so we need to live by faith. All of these people, and I had a few things that I thought that I was going to say tonight, and I might say them eventually, but I can't get off of this part, and it's okay. If we don't do nothing but just look at the whole chapter and just reiterate the fact that it may be uncertain, but it's certain with God. I thought about Rahab. The Bible mentions her. Ain't it a miracle in the midst of all of these great prophets of old? Who'd have thought that among Noah and Enoch, who walked with God and was translated and did not see death, with Abraham, who we call the father of faith, with Moses, who's the great deliverer of the Israelites, people with Jacob and Joseph and all them, that in the middle of it all, there would be a mention of a harlot named Rahab. And ain't it amazing that God does not try to make the picture any more beautiful to the natural man? He could have just called her Rahab, but he made sure for us to know that it was the harlot Rahab. But look at what the Bible said. By faith, the harlot Rahab, in verse 31, perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies of peace. If you go back to the book of Joshua, when they sent spies into Jericho to find out what it would take to bring the city down, they came into the city. Rahab saw them. She had an act, and I'm not trying to be gross or vulgar, but she had an eye for men. That's what she was. And she saw these two men and realized that they were not like the other men of the city. And she said, come home with me. And when she got them, and nobody in the city probably paid any attention. It's probably no different than any other day. There's a few men going home with Rahab. But when she got them behind closed doors, she said, you belong to Israel, don't you? And they said, yes. And she said, we've heard about what your God can do. Now, she had never seen their God. She had never really seen what their God had done. She had only heard things that she could not really be certain about. But she said something about, when I hear about your God, it makes my heart melt within me. And she said, I'll trade everything I've got if you'll just promise me that it'll be okay with me. And ain't that what we did in salvation? Lord, I don't know what all I'm getting into. And Lord, I don't know what all it's going to take. But I'm under conviction, and I know that my heart's melting within me. And so we come to our breaking point, and we say we'll trade everything we've got just to get what you've got and be spared from wrath to come. And by faith, she traded the certainty of her day. And if Jericho had went on, how was she to know? She had no idea at that point what was going to happen. The spies had not yet revealed to her what the plan was, and that Jericho was going to be overthrown. But aren't you glad that by faith, before judgment ever came, that God revealed to you by the preached word of God that there was a way out of judgment to come? And she traded the uncertainty of tomorrow for her certainty of today, and found out it was far better with the people of God than it was living in the walled city of Jericho. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm no deep preacher by any means. All y'all have figured that out by now if you've been here for any length of time. But there have been a few nuggets along the way the Holy Ghost has opened my eyes to see, and there have been other men seen them before me. So I'm not claiming any originality. But them two spies that went in, we don't know much about them. But it seems to me they're the ones that worked out the treaty. They're the ones that worked out the terms. They're the ones that worked it all out. Said, now this is how it's going to be. You don't tell any men what's happened this day. And when we come in, you bind a scarlet thread in your window. And when we see the thread, we'll spare you and all that's in the house, and everything else will be destroyed. Right. Seems to me like them men, who, by the way, are a type and a picture of the preacher and the preached word of God, it seems to me like they ought to get some commendation and some praise and some glory, but they never do. The Bible said they went in and they destroyed the city. And the Bible said in the Old Testament that even though those men delivered the terms that were given to them, though they told her the message, the Bible said in Joshua spared Rahab. Yeah. You say, that don't mean anything to me. It ought to. Because in the Hebrew, the word for Joshua and the word for Jesus are the same word. And so it is a good type and shadow and prophecy of the fact that even though we're preaching the gospel and delivering the terms that have been given to us, it ain't in us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that saves the sinner. And I'm glad it is by faith. So many others. I thought about old Enoch. The Bible said by faith he was translated that he should not see death. Now if you read the Bible, now I'm just going to preach it how it's on my heart, how the Lord's given it to me. If you read the Bible, Enoch had a wife and Enoch had children. Enoch had a family. Enoch had a home. Enoch probably had a job. Enoch probably had friends. He had a lot of good things in this life. But if I read my Bible right, and I'm just putting it in my mind, okay, and painting the picture, there came a day that Enoch, the Bible said he walked with God, and there came a day that God took him. He was and then he was not. And it leads me to believe that they're just walking as they were any other day. And a big old hand from heaven reached down to where Enoch was and said, don't you want to leave behind all you have there and come home with me? You say, preacher, that's far out. Well, you don't have to take it like I do or see it like I do. You can just miss out on it if you want to. But I think what that scripture's saying is that by faith Enoch traded the certainty of his day, the certainty of a wife and of children and a home and friends and family. And by faith, he reached out and took hold of a great big hand of a great big God, and he traded the certainty of the day for the uncertainty of tomorrow and found out it was far better with of God. I'm going to mention one more and I'm done. As far as I know, I thought about old Abraham. Now if there was anybody in this chapter, and I know others did, but it just is very apparent in what the scriptures record about this man named Abraham. If there's anybody in their life who has experienced uncertainty before, it's Abraham. He's already traded the certainty of his day for the uncertainty of tomorrow with God. The Bible said by faith, when Abraham was called to go out, he went not knowing whither he went. God just said, leave your land and come with me. And he went. And God made him a promise that he would have a son. And it went on and it went on and it went on and nothing happened. It was uncertain times. And then all of a sudden at 100 years old, 90 years old, Abraham and Sarah have a boy named Isaac. And it seems like all the uncertainty has been traded for certainty in the mind of God. Feels good to Abraham to wake up to a baby crying in the house. It feels good to Abraham to wake up and hear a boy call down the hall, daddy or mama. It feels good to have the certainty of the promise of God. Abraham already knows what it's like to live and walk by faith. He trusted God that he would give him a son. But God is not done testing the faith of Abraham. For the Bible said in the book of Genesis, after these things, after all these promises, after all this trouble, after all this uncertainty, after the certainty of God has been manifested in the life of Abraham, the Bible said that the word of God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, Abraham, I want you to offer Isaac to me for a sacrifice. You talk about a hard thing to do. To trade the certainty he has known. Isaac, most likely, the best I can understand is probably in his early adolescent years, maybe a young teenager. Abraham has not just had Isaac for a day or two. He's established a bond and a relationship with this boy, probably tagged along with him everywhere he went through the field doing what he did. Isaac was probably at his side, and now the word of God comes and said, you believed me before, will you believe me again? And Abraham traded the certainty of his Isaac for the uncertainty of the promise of God. The Bible said, now, you better understand what type of... Now, Abraham's a man, flesh and blood, just like you and me. But you need to understand what this Bible said. That Abraham, in verse number 19, he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. In Abraham's mind, according to scriptures, what I can understand, Abraham believed he was going to kill his son. But he believed because of faith. See, when your faith gets exercised, his had already been exercised, and God had proven himself to Abraham time and time again. But to us, it seems an impossibility. But to Abraham, it was no light thing to trust God. He accounted that. You say, well, that's just what the writer of Hebrews thought about it. Oh, no. Go to Genesis. The Bible said he saddled the ass with the wood, and he took his men, and they spent 3 days' journey, I believe it was, and come to Mount Moriah, the base of the mountain, and the Bible said he turned to his men and kept them there, and he said, you abide here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will return again to you. Abraham believed God. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though he believed God, it didn't take away the uncertainty in his mind. There's a certainty down on the inside, but things still don't add up here. And I'm going to tell you something that's hampering and hindering our modern day church people is that we're waiting for the things of God to compute up here, and they never will. The uncertainty may remain here, but if God's put a certainty in your heart, go with Him. Go with Him. And Abraham traded his certainty of his Isaac for the uncertainty of God's future. And I wonder tonight if you have an Isaac you're holding on to because you trust that certainty. You want that certainty. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to have to trade some of the certainties for uncertainties. We're going to have to do like Peter did. And we're hard on Peter, but he's the only one I read about who stepped out of the boat. And if we're going to walk by faith, we're going to have to get out of the boat. If we're going to dwell by faith, walk by faith, live by faith, we're going to have to cut off the ropes from the shoreline and launch out in the deep, lose sight of the shore and everybody else, and trust God. See, the writer of that song knew what to say. I'm going to tell you about living by faith. It don't mean all your troubles are going to go away. It don't mean a perfect, smooth sailing life. That preacher said, Brother Tim mentioned it the other day in church. I don't remember if it was in Sunday school or some other time. And I've heard it mentioned too about the man who was out and lost his way, felt like he was on the right way home but needed some assurance. And there's a man out working by the fence, and he said, this is where I need to go. Told him where home was. He said, can you make sure that I'm on the right way? He said, yeah, you're on the right road. He said, just hang on. It's rocky from here to the top of the hill at the cemetery. But once you get past the graveyard, it's smooth sailing all the way. I'm going to tell you, even a life walked by faith may be rocky from here to the graveyard or to the rapture or whatever you want to say. However we get out of here by way of the grave or by way of the air, it may be rocky from here to there. But a life that's lived by faith will be smooth sailing after that. So there may be some bumps in the road. We may have to buckle up a time or two. But if God is leading your heart, go with Him. Just walk by faith. Trade whatever certainty you may have. If He's dealing with you about the certainty of a job, about the certainty of a place to live, whatever the certainty is, why don't you trade your certainty for God's uncertainty and live by faith and watch Him move? Now I want to clarify something right here and I'm done. These people in Hebrews chapter 11, they didn't trade their certainty just on a whim. He didn't just lay in bed at night and concoct some dream and thought, well, I'm just going to jump out and trust it'll be okay. Oh, no, God dealt with every one of them. And so don't go home and think the preacher said that if you can concoct it in your mind and it sounds good and you'll just go with it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if God is dealing with you and leading you, trust Him, trade everything and walk by faith with Him. Even though it's uncertain, even though it's unsure, trade what's certain to you for what's certain with God, even though it may be uncertain to you, and walk by faith. If we'll walk that blessed life by faith, like the writer of the song said, hand in hand, we walk each day hand in hand along the way. That is the life that's walked by faith. And it can be so. Don't let anybody convince you it cannot be so in our day. God's not changed. His word's not changed. His method's not changed. It can be the same for us today if we will step out on faith and by faith and live our life with God and walk with Him by faith. It will all come out well in the end. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege together.